Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the... Hey, Jamie, it's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, it's pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome to Postcast as the Jazz beat the Sacramento Kings 112-82 at the Golden 1 Center. This is Locked On Jazz, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. David Locke along with Ron Boone. Your postgame show posted immediately after each and every game for you right here on either Locked On Jazz or wherever you might get your postcast. A 30-point win. They're not actually easy to come by in this league, but it's exactly what the doctor ordered, and it's exactly what maybe some people think they should have done. It's a team that actually beat the Clippers and beat the Grizzlies recently. But this is a pretty good performance by the Jazz.
Well, first and fourth quarter, they were able to put the Kings away. Just a terrible second quarter, but this is a ball game they should have won. They should have won in the fashion that they did win it. You see that throughout the course of the basketball game, Quinn Snyder really pushing guys in and out and trying to give Dante as much time out there on the floor so he can get the job done. But for the most part, as we just saw, that it was Shelvin Mack who really had the best performance from that point guard position.
And truly, the way it works right now is that the Jazz want the fourth seed. They have to get a combination of six wins and Clipper Jazz wins and Clipper losses. So you just have to go grab every single one of these that you can. Frankly, they got good news today because the final two games of the season will have no ramifications on the playoffs at Golden State and home against the Spurs. And frankly, the Sunday game at San Antonio will have almost no ramifications. But since it's a national television game with all the things, I'm pretty sure we'll see all the Spurs for that one. So these are games you have to get. It's a 30-point win against a young, inexperienced team. But I don't think you can underestimate just the importance of what this win means. And it continues with kind of a year-long theme of how much the Jazz have excelled against inferior opponents. Their record against below 500 teams is just fabulous. And it's not sexy. It's not the win that makes you pound your chest, right? But they get the fourth seed. It's going to be because they played every night. And there are so few teams that are able to accomplish that in the season.
And they beaten teams that they had to beat, just like you just mentioned. Those teams that are under 500, and if you continue to lose to those type of ball games, you wouldn't be in the position you're in now. And the fact that the Jazz now won 21 ball games on the road, how much does that come into play? I mean, that is
a winning road record. That's
a
great point.
What's that, 21 and what, 18?
And if I remember correctly, this will only be the fifth time in franchise history that that has ever happened.
Yeah, 21 and 17, as a matter of fact. But this is the deal here. I feel the Jazz win their home games. They're in a a tremendous position now to where they can get that fourth spot. They have, with the Washington Wizards coming up, they have they have Portland.
So you need two Clipper losses the rest of the way if you win your home game.
Exactly, and that's the way I'm looking at it right now.
Well, and then if you can sneal one other, you really are in great shape. Boy, it'd be great to get home. I hope everyone realizes, we're in the midst of it, and we're, like, for a team that hasn't made the playoffs, to suddenly end up fourth in the West, or even to be in the conversation for fourth in the West, this is an incredibly successful, remarkable season by the Utah Jazz. And then you start to couple in the fact that the starting lineup has played 13 games together. Here was a night where you were without two starters. You were without your first, at this point of the season, your starting and your backup point guard. And you, Dante Exum, frankly, was thrown back into the point guard position where he had been taken away, so he couldn't have a lot of confidence. His second play of the game, he drives, gets caught in the air, and throws away the ball. Quinn pulls him out. He never recovers from that moment, frankly. Has a pretty bad game. And Shelvin Mack has a fabulous game. I mean, what a great team effort for Shelvin Mack, who has played very little since the middle of January, to be the key to this game.
Well, before I get to Shelvin Mack, Dante was put right back in the basketball game. Usually players would go back in, and because the coach pulled him out to get his point across and puts him back in the ball game, they get it, they go back in, they play better. That hasn't happened with Dante right now, and he's struggling. I think Quinn will continue to give him the kind of minutes that he needs for the rest of the season to try to get him ready for the playoffs. That's another player that the Jazz are going to need. Otherwise, they're going to be playing Neto and maybe Shelvin Mack, and your fifth player that was picked in the draft there for the Utah Jazz, it might be getting some DNPs in the playoffs. But luckily enough, the Jazz has a veteran player in Shelvin Mack who understands the game and how to play and has a great attitude and can come in and play like he played tonight.
His post-game interview was really interesting. He said this has been terribly frustrating, and he understood there are other circumstances. But interesting is I think everyone thought that Jazz were going to move him at the trade deadline as a little bit to give Shelvin a chance to play somewhere, and thank goodness we didn't, or we probably don't win tonight.
You're absolutely right about that, and I'm one that thought, okay, if there's any trades or if there was anything going to happen here by the trade deadline, it was going to be Shelvin. I mean, they wasn't even playing him, and usually when something like that happens, that's the player that they're trying to shop around. But also, Quinn's had a couple of long conversations with him, and I'm not sure what the conversations were all about, but evidently it was had something to do with Shelvin just being patient. He's been patient with Neto there as well, and both of those guys have come off the bench and taking advantage of some minutes out there on the floor.
Another night where Joe Johnson, the power forward, was very strong. I believe the Jazz were plus 15 when he was in at the power forward. They ran away with the game in the second half when he didn't play quite as much. He only had to play 23 minutes. Positives for everybody on the floor. Dante finished positive one. Earlier, he got a little extra at the end. Everybody had a field goal except for Dante tonight and great shooting. Rodney Hood went 5 of 5 from 3, 13 of 32 from 3, another 22 assists. They beat an inferior team handily, jumped out a massive lead by 20 at the end of one. It got down to 4, and then they put the hammer down and ran it up to 30. It's just a solid, good win.
It's a solid win, and the key here is they were outscored. They were getting outplayed. They lost the momentum, and they were able to get it back. Now, this is the second game in the second of four, I think, where they lost the momentum, was able to come back and regain and win going away.
Well, nothing else went the Jazz way as of this moment other than the Warriors beat the Spurs, so that means that there's very little to play for there. Russell Westbrook had another remarkable game, brought Oklahoma City back from the dead, and Memphis won tonight handily. But the Jazz magic number is 6, and the Clippers are up by 6 with a minute 23 left with the ball. So unless they pull another basketball Harry Carey, they will win this one, and then the Jazz will have to take care of it.
Why wouldn't a magic number be 5? We're up 2 on the Clippers. So our magic
because if
number,
we tie with the Clippers, we don't have the tiebreaker.
Yeah, but we're up 2.
And there's 7 games left. So if we go 5-2 and they go 7-0, we don't get it.
Yeah.
You thought I really missed that?
Yeah, I did think you really missed that.
How late
because
is it?
The Jazz are up 2.
And if we go 5-2 and the Clippers go 7-0, then
you're
we tie.
Well, you're going 7-0.
Right, that's a magic number 5.
Yeah.
Do you really think I was going to miss that?
I really did, David.
You bumped your head?
Huh?
You bumped your head?
No. You tell me not to shake my head? Are we going CNN here? Don't shake your head.
Don't be shaking your head, Ramboon. All right, see you guys. That is Postcast.